prosecutors have alleged. She was angry, she had been drinking, she killed him.
There's a whole other side of the story. There is corruption in this city.
Phones being destroyed, butt dials at 2 in the morning.
The most shocking part is that not a single witness actually saw this happen.
So a woman accused of hitting and killing her boyfriend, who was a Boston police officer, did Karen Reed do the crime or was she framed for it? It's a high-profile case out of Boston, Massachusetts, which is now back before a judge with a brand new jury and now a second trial for Karen Reed. And there's also been a new docuseries that was released on HBO Max. You just heard a snippet from it. It's taken the case to a whole new national level. A lot of eyeballs on this case. Joining us now, legal expert on our show, attorney Bill Bloss. And Bill, are you familiar with the Karen Reed case? What do you think about it?
Well, yeah, I'm certainly not as familiar as some people, and that, you know, it's being streamed, the trial. So somebody who wants to spend all day looking at it can certainly do so. But, you know, I'm familiar enough with it to, I think, really highlight how complicated and crazy the whole situation is. So the lead investigator has been fired, from the Massachusetts state trooper, the inspector in the state's attorney's office has been disciplined. The defense attorneys almost got removed because their expert witnesses made a misrepresentation to the judge about their arrangements with the defense team and whether they were being compensated. I haven't seen anything like it. And fortunately, I don't think we've seen anything like it in Connecticut lately.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and even outside the courtroom, Bill, it's really interesting to me that I've never really seen where people are protesting. So the first time Karen Reed was going through her trial, there were people, you know, Free Karen Reed. There were protesters who I've never seen like a murder. I've never seen a murder suspect have that kind of protest activity to the point that now in this new trial, her second trial, there was a ruling that they could not be within a certain vicinity of the courthouse, which I thought was interesting, too, that I've never really seen that before.
Well, yeah, there was a ruling, a court order that the protesters stay at least 200 feet away from the courthouse. And that went all the way to the First Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston, the federal court. And the court said that was a valid restriction on protesters' First Amendment rights. There clearly is a First Amendment right to protest anything, almost. But you're right. It's a little unusual to be protesting a criminal trial. I just can't recall anything like that here. Mm-hmm. It is clearly got emotions and passions very raw in the area there. Sure.
So we have our legal expert here on the show, attorney Bill Bloss, who is not involved in the Karen Reed case, which, again, Karen Reed is accused of hitting and killing her boyfriend, who was a Boston police officer at the time. This was in 2022. And we are now entering into, she just started her second trial last week. But this docuseries, I've got to say, attorney Bloss, I watched the whole thing. Because I had heard vaguely about this case, but it seemed like sort of a closed door to me from the outside as a reporter. I thought, okay, a woman who was drinking and driving can't remember what happened. You know, there's proof that her taillight was broken. I mean, it seems like a pretty open and closed shut case. But the docuseries, again, they were inside the courtroom. They're hearing the testimonies. They're revealing it all to you as well. And they're also interviewing all key players, including reporters. What I think stood out to me in watching this is that there were a lot of gaps in this investigation that are, to me, totally inexcusable. Whether or not she did it, that's sort of another, I guess, conversation. But I don't know what you took away from the things that clearly got missed and kind of the things that clearly were not done, I think, to an appropriate manner. For example, you bring up the lead investigator, who's a state trooper, conflict of interest, knew the people who lived in the home where this body was found, never investigated the home, never cross-examined anybody, had a lot of inappropriate text messages about the defendant. I mean, it's I don't know. There's there to me, it was very poorly investigated, it seemed like.
Well, the first mistake they made was that this seems like a very closed, insular law enforcement community in this town. And the Massachusetts State Police were brought in because of the conflicts, but that didn't solve the problem. It was still a series of ties between the investigators, including the investigator with the state police the state's attorney's office, who was in charge from the prosecutor's point of view. It's a shockingly inept investigation that you don't even interview anybody inside the house. That I can't imagine that. I don't know what the rationale is for that, other than the people inside were all connected to law enforcement one way or the other, or friends with law enforcement, and just the police didn't want to bring them in. It's very surprising. And that's one reason why there was a hung jury. The prosecutor has to establish beyond a reasonable doubt that a murder was committed by her. And if you believe, one of the jurors gave an interview and said that they were all unanimous, actually, in acquitting her of second-degree murder, the only murder charge against her. But the trial judge kind of messed up the instructions, and they didn't understand that they could return a not guilty verdict on some counts but not on all counts without having a mistrial. So if you believe this juror, then the prosecution just didn't prove the case. So
I don't think they did. I think that was my big takeaway from it, Attorney Bloss, was that I was shocked that there was a hung jury, only because I've never served as a juror on a high profile case like this. But there were so many. I mean, the point of this case was to prove that she did, in fact, hit this guy with her car, kill him and leave the scene. I don't think anything revealed in that court was enough suffice evidence to convict her of that.
Well, there's very, very much is made of the broken taillight evidence, that one of the taillights on her SUV was found broken.
Yes.
And then sometime later, by the way, not immediately, but sometime later, there were pieces of a broken taillight found in the driveway area. I mean, the question I have about this case, and I always have, is, and I haven't read the forensic reports. I haven't read the medical examiner's forensic pathologist report talking about cause of death. But how do you kill somebody with an SUV in a driveway? Unless the person, I don't think there's a claim that he was run over. You would know that.
No.
That would be fairly clear. But how does hitting somebody at driveway speed? Now, I guess if a taillight is broken, maybe it's higher than typical driveway speed. But how does that lead to a death? But now he did die. So did he hit his head? Did he? Or the defense theory is, of course, that he was beaten inside the house and he was left to die outside and found later. And with a setup that framed Reed. Now, but you know, that's an odd claim too, because
right.
if O'Keefe is the victim is beaten inside the house, maybe the place to dump him wouldn't be in the front yard.
Right.
It would be somewhere
right.
somewhere a little less visible and a little less tied to the house. Now, you know, I guess the counter argument to that is, well, yeah, but if everybody inside is law enforcement or connected to law enforcement, and you know that law enforcement isn't going to look at anybody inside the house and they're in on it, then it doesn't make any difference. So, boy, it is a complicated situation. For
it
sure.
really
and
is.
People can watch it. It's being live streamed I know the NBC station up in Boston is live streaming it, so I'm sure people can find it if they're interested.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long trial.
Oh, it's definitely going to be a long trial. I'm very fascinated by this. And like I said, that docuseries, whether you watch it or you don't, I thought it really, to me, highlighted, and you and I have talked about this so many times, Attorney Bloss, the importance of having an unbiased jury and how difficult that is. But I felt like this jury in the initial trial, you know, they were really tasked with figuring out, was there sufficient enough evidence to convict this woman? And I just didn't see where it was there. I'm not saying she didn't do it. That I'm not going to tell people what she did or didn't do. But there's so much. I mean, like you talk about the just details of the case that don't make sense. I mean, the injuries for John O'Keefe, the Boston police officer who was killed in this case, they're not consistent with being hit by a car. So there's just so much to the case that just doesn't add up. It's not showing that Karen Reed is totally innocent, but it also shows that there were so many gaps in this case that just were never looked at inside the home, any interviews with the people in the home, none of that. And to me, there's just more questions than there are answers. Not enough, though, to convict somebody of murder. I don't know.
Well, it depends on whether the jury really follows the beyond a reasonable doubt instruction. It's
right.
A hard instruction.
Yeah.
You know, as I think about it more and more, I actually, at my last murder trial, I tried to a hung jury twice, actually, which was, and I will say the retrial was one of the least interesting, least pleasant experiences I've ever had as a lawyer, a trial lawyer anyway, because there's no energy. There's no, you know, the surprises are all gone. It's more like a play than it is a criminal trial because everybody has their transcript and everybody knows what they said last time and the same mistakes didn't get made. So it's a very different affair from a first trial. But, you know, it's hard. What we ask jurors to do in criminal cases is to say, well, you may think she probably did it, and you may be even pretty sure she did it. But unless you're satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt, whatever that means, then you have to cut her loose and you have to let her walk free. Now, that's not easy.
Yeah, that certainly is not. It's not an easy task, certainly. Attorney Bill Bloss, I want to thank you so much. I always appreciate getting your perspective. Again, he's our legal expert here on the show. Not connected to the Karen Reed case, but certainly able to give us perspective and insight as we watch a second trial in this case unfold up in Boston, Massachusetts, and a lot of eyeballs, including many in Connecticut, watching this case. Thank you so much, Attorney Bloss. We appreciate it.